A Square of One's Own. Memoirs of the Budsbury Circle by Lytton Strychnine. Chapter 1. The Great War. The biographer is kinsman to the picture restorer. With the acid of conjecture, he strips off the varnish of dissemblance to expose much exquisite detail. As exemplified in this portrait, coins at Cambridge, summer 1914. The greatest economic mind of his era is rehearsing a valedictory speech.
So, to sum up, gentlemen, buy cheap, sell dear, do it often, do it quick. That's economics. Right, off you go and rule the country.
A telegram, Dr. Coins, from the Foreign Office.
I suppose it's about the forthcoming war that will drag on for 4 years and wipe out the cream of a generation. Oh. Right. Sikh views war effort, stop. Whitehall Tuesday, stop. Ah, oh, here we are. Third class rail fare plus subsistence. It's the Foreign Office, all right.
Any reply, Dr. Coins?
30 words for threepence, right?
Yes.
Say, sixpence mile silver ghost, plus 10 shills nightly, lowest acceptable, stop. Arranging own accommodation, stop. Like or lump, stop. Would not expect Archbishop can't take drumhead service, same rate local rector, stop. Regards, Coins.
Is Archbishop Kent one word, Dr. Coins?
Yes. Any argument, change it to Pope.
Hello?
Budsbury 1212, please, Mrs. Woof. Come on, Ginny.
Supposition, perhaps. But if, with the ancients, we hold that character is destiny, then by no means unfounded supposition. Mutatis mutandis, the events of that same day, at number 28, Budsbury Square, home to art critic Clive Pill and his wife, Vanessa.
La, 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 la. Oh, do sit still, Clive, darling. Now look, the way you keep moving your head, I've given you an extra nose. People will think I'm trying to copy Picasso. Oh, darling, now where are you going?
Find my notebook. Just had an idea.
Oh, dear, I suppose that means you'll be writing another book and I shan't see you for 6 weeks.
No, no, just a pamphlet called Civilization, about how civilization is both a process and something else.
I should have listened to Mother. Never marry an intellectual.
Can't help being clever. Anyway, your sister married one?
Virginia's an intellectual herself. Who else would have her? Now, Clive, darling, do come and sit down. You know how important this is. My first exhibition, and the gallery's spacing them out as it is. Oh, no, and here's the man now to pick up my painting, and it's still... Oh, never mind, I'll use this.
My blotter, what are you...
Just drying the paint, darling. Oh, I knew I should have done a still life.
Look, that old Suzanne in the attic. Just sign that and give them that.
Don't be silly, darling. I've got my reputation to think of. Yes, I'm coming. Hello?
Oh, I've come to collect the old push, Mom.
Oh, right.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Oh, unmistakable touch of greatness, shimmering from every stroke, if I may say so, Mum. That'll be half a crown.
Half a crown?
Delivery, Mum, and if you would sign this.
Sweet man, he wants my autograph, Clive.
Indemnification form, Mum. Ta. Well, good luck with your exhibitionism tonight. Goodbye.
Bye. Charming man. If that's just the teensiest bit on the rough-hewn side.
No, I can't find my... Hey, stop that man! Stop him!
What on earth is the matter, Clive?
He's gone off with my blotter.
Let us now weave a further thread in our intricate tapestry by traversing Budsbury Square to number 26, where, that afternoon, I myself called upon the great and shortly-to-be-published novelist, Virginia Woolf. To set the stage, this reconstruction of events immediately preceding my visit may be found helpful.
You called, Mom.
Oh, God! This is completely and utterly unbearable. I'm enveloped in a black cloud of misery, Nash, and nobody loves me.
No, ma'am. Though with respect, ma'am, Mrs. Pill must harbour some affection for you, or she wouldn't have invited you to her exhibition tonight.
That's another thing. I'll have to hold a soiree to invite her to. Oh, God. Now that gramophone needle's stuck, Nash. Is there no end to it?
Indeed, ma'am. It never rains, but it pours. Allow me. Budsbury 1212. I'll seize her. The Dr. Coins, ma'am, says he rang earlier, but there was no reply.
I disconnected it. I was in the throes of literary creation, Nash. Torture enough without the clamour of that intolerable bell.
Of course, ma'am. Dr. Coyne says that he would be grateful if he could stay for a few days.
Why?
In connection with the forthcoming war, ma'am. Though he requests that this news goes no further.
Nonsense. What war? I don't know about any war. Do you think that's the war he means?
Colossal social upheaval expected!
What?
Aimed to centuries of automatic temperance!
Where are all the servants going? Nash, whatever can it all mean?
I suspect it means an end to bowing and scraping to puffed-up nonentities such as yourself, ma'am. But if not, perhaps you would keep my position open until after the war, ma'am.
Nash, come back!
Hello? Ginny, you still there?
As I arrived at this juncture, my account of events is henceforth verbatim, except where I have summarized for the sake of authenticity.
Ah, Virginia, your butler being less than his customarily attentive self, I let myself in. Moi, moi.
What? Listen, I suppose you better come in.
I am. You sound somewhat distracted, Virginia.
I'm distracted, Lytton. I keep hearing things.
Ginny, hello? Lytton, there. Lytton, you're a naughty boy avoiding me. Lytton? Lytton?
Coins had summed up the situation with his usual perspicacity. I had been avoiding him.
Ginny? Lytton?
Voices, Lytton. I'm hearing voices.
Hello?
Help me.
My pleasure. Oh, well, Isola, along now, ma.
Oh, that's better. They've gone.
You should rest, Virginia. Doubtless you have been overtiring yourself with your novel.
I must have been overtiring myself with my novel, Lytton. One can endure only so much ecstasy and despair. One reacts by entering the cave.
Symbolically, Dada. You mean creative block?
I mean creative block, Lytton. Do you suffer them?
Destructive blocks, which for the professional biographer are, if anything, worse. Fortunately, I have yoked science into the service of art in the shape of... I abhor Boccherini. He tried to poison his mother, you know.
Lytton, what is that device?
A phonograph. Allow me to demonstrate.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. St. Francis of Assisi, chapter 5. The charnel house here.
I just pour it all out in a great flood. No. Let's say stream of consciousness.
Yes.
Write it up later.
Yes.
And edit it.
What?
I edited, Virginia. Cut it.
Oh, hideous word. How can you bear to say it?
In the elusive quest for perfection, the biographer may so easily be lured into dwelling on his subject in obsessive detail. When so ensnared, I cut.
You!
There, Virginia. Only the heroic bits.
But as a Derby winner may lose form when deprived of a beloved stablemate, be it a mere donkey, so did Virginia repine, if such an equine analogy may with justice be applied to Vita Sockville Pest. Possibly the greatest, certainly the most ambitious landscapist of her day, who was at that very moment surveying with godlike satisfaction a magnum opus, the garden at her Sussex home, Charlatan.
A hillock, 100 yards west, a second hillock, 1 furlong due south, a ravine, forming ingress and egress of artificial grotto, and then... Oh, wretched man!
Mail, ma'am.
Postman, must I tell you again, do not ride that bicycle scattering gravel everywhere!
Oh!
Philistine! That length of wire was there for a purpose. Now I'll have to realign my saplings. So much anguish for one paltry letter. Why does no one write to me? Or only Vanessa and her... exhibition of daubings. P.S. V sends love. Sorry hasn't written. Suffering from block. Oh, I must rush to her.
Vanessa's exhibition at the Budsbury Gallery, Budsbury Square, Budsbury, was a sparkling occasion, invested with poignancy by the courageous resolve of all present to banish thoughts of the folly about to envelop a continent, and instead reaffirm those eternal values for which our group was renowned.
Vanessa, darling!
Peter, darling!
Clive, darling!
Peter, darling!
Clive, darling!
Hello, Lytton.
Virginia, darling!
My pamphlet.
My novel.
My biography.
My landscapism.
Oh, there you are, Lytton. Mark my words.
Regrettably, I didn't.
Armoured tanks will be big. Any spare boodles stick it in tanks.
Forgive me, John.
Call me Johnny.
No, a tryst with Clive awaits. Oh, Clive!
Quite magnificent grasp of form, darling.
Oh, thank you, darling. What's form?
Shh, darling.
Well, I've always wanted to know. Everybody talks about it, but no one ever explains what it is. You'll know. Oh, won't you, Lytton, darling? You're awfully clever.
What? Actually, I came to proposition your husband in a joint venture, a biography of Turner.
Do excuse me, Lytton.
Or constable, or sergeant.
Darling,
what on earth? This is a private viewing.
It's a brick, darling, with an envelope. Look, everybody, white feathers and a note.
Let me. It's the League of Patriots.
Oh.
Patriotic men of England, your country needs you. So will you stiffen your sinews and imitate the action of the tiger?
Style somewhat derivative.
Or like cowardly gentlemen abed, count yourselves base. What vulgar, mindless nationalism.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Then how can such people know of higher values? Fairness, justice,
love.
Yes, as E.M. Fuster puts it, if forced to choose between loyalty to friend or country, let us hope we have the courage to choose.
Yes.
Whatever courage dictates. Who the devil's that? Not another of them.
Never. Rule Britannia.
Leave him to me, darling. That's an awfully nice song. And you're singing it beautifully. But if you've come to give us any more feathers, well, we really don't need them.
Feathers? Please, what am I with feathers wanting? I am an artist. Would sing this gallery. I'm wondering if my dear friend Clive...
Hans Schwarzmeister.
Clive?
Did you say Hans? The Hans Schwarzmeister?
The great post-depressionist, yes, whose work one has championed to some effect in England.
In London, certainly. Hans, how do you do?
Yes, pleased to meet you, Hans.
Guten Tag. I too am pleased. As I must tell you, I am, what is the phrase, women preferring.
Oh.
Hail the Kaiser!
Mein Gott!
The poor man's crying!
Overcome with emotion at our reunion, curse this British reserve of ours. Hans, let me kiss you. There, don't weep.
Get off, Dummkopf. You would weep in my position.
What? Artistic powers not waning, are they?
Nein, nothing so worrying. I just find myself in your country on the very day it declares war on mine.
Hans, countries. We are of the International Brotherhood of Artists. Our allegiance, beauty. Our battle, for truth. Our sword, goodness.
Scheiße. Try telling that to them. It is beauty, truth, and goodness getting me in this mess to start with. Come and lecture to us, Hans. Yeah, yeah. We'll see you catch your boat. Yeah, yeah. Now I shall have my head chopped off in your tower if one of your bobbies catches me.
No, just slip him half a quid. You'll pass as an Englishman.
Oh, gosh! Oh, they're looting Herr Frankelberger's bagels!
My God, I am doomed!
No, Hans. We'll protect you. You must stay.
With us? It's obvious.
With me? Us in the public eye, Vanessa? Alas, pure madness. No, Hans must hide at... Virginia's.
Hiding. The yearning of the soul to immolate.
Yeah, perhaps I can be London leafing completely.
Cambridge is out of the question. I'll tell you why after the war.
But where can the poor chap go?
Charlatan!
With me?
It's ideal, Vita. Pretend he's one of your gardeners.
Hans is a creative artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Will he be stimulated in the country?
He won't find whatever inspires your sophisticated creations, Vanessa dear, but perhaps the more orthodox charms of landscapism to its proportion and perspective may provide some consolation.
That's decided then. So, modus operandi, Johnny takes the motor car with Hans, we all follow by train.
All of you?
Yes, Vita. The world is going mad. The eternal values of art and civilization all but dead. But be assured, at such a time, we shall not desert you.
Nor did we. No doubt each of us, rising daily to paint, write, or theorize upon Charlatan's sun-dappled lawns, yearned inwardly for the ascetic stone of Budsbury. But we bore friendship's burden stoically, none more than Clive, who entertained his exiled friend with inordinate diligence.
Believe me, Hans, when the history of civilization is written, I don't mean my pamphlet now, our circle will be seen to have played an epochal part.
Yeah, yeah.
Budsbury shall be to the 20th century what Florence was to the Renaissance.
Yeah, yeah.
Avant-garde in literature, art and philosophy, and, of course, personal behaviour.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for us, prissy bourgeois conventions of so-called morality. Timidity dressed up as principle.
Nein, that is no good.
Tired hands?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not so good sleeping.
Must be the air. Vanessa was dog-tired this morning, too. Not like me. Slept like a log.
Yeah? You are not waking in the night at all?
No.
Yeah, that is good. Look at those two little hillocks.
What? Ah, yes. Classical reference, eh? No? Symbolize the pillars of Hercules, according to Vita.
Sure. I'm thinking they're intended to represent a woman's chests.
What? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. And down there, the cave.
Entrance to Hades, so Vita says.
Oh, Hades, yeah, is perhaps fun way of putting it.
Hans, what in... Bohemianism is one thing, but we do draw the line at filth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's unconscious, maybe. Vita is not knowing much about art, but is knowing what she likes.
Virginia, too, found inspiration in the air of Charlatan. All happily for posterity, recorded on my phonograph.
Testing. The Journey In, Part 2.
Virginia, are you there? Let me...
Oh, God.
I thought I heard you talking, Virginia. To a woman.
I was.
What?
To my muse.
Oh, darling Virginia, don't tease. I thought you were avoiding me, that I'd offended you. I thought... It's too silly. I thought it was my garden.
What?
That you were jealous of it.
How?
With your window facing it, you're constantly seeing such beauty, comparing it to your present barren... block. As I said, the whole idea's absurd.
It's preposterous.
I have offended you. I knew this would happen. So many creative temperaments under one roof. Some explosion was inevitable. I've made you unhappy.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
But you are unhappy.
Of course I am. It is my destiny as an artist.
Not because of me, thank God. Or do you want me to make you unhappier? Oh, Virginia, speak.
How does one get this thing to go?
Guten Tag. I'm coming to ask if you have any canvases I can be for the paint using.
No, Hans, for we landscapists, the earth is our canvas.
Yeah, this is good.
My curtains, they're not canvas, they're cotton.
Ach, canvas, cotton, what matter? I am seeing your garden and I am inspired. Vida, think of art.
I am thinking of art, but that fabric costs 12 and 6 pence a yard. From Selfridges. Go and see if there's anything in the maid's room to paint on.
Oh, very well. Virginia, is that phonograph trouble-giving?
Oh, God, yes.
Here, allow me. Women. You see? See, you press this lever, and...
The journey in. The contours, hills, and valleys of consciousness. Terror incognito. Oh,
maybe it is broken. It's coming out nonsense. Here, try that.
Which every explorer must chart afresh, and throw the charts away, and start again.
They are telling me you are a writer, Virginia, but I am not knowing you are a satirist. Oh, well, it works good now. Wiedersehen!
Really?
Inevitably, though, given their shared background as practitioners of the visual arts, it was Vanessa with whom Hans established the closest rapport.
How does that look?
Schön. It's Vanessa, of course, is schön.
Oh, Hans, darling, you are sweet. So poetical.
With such a muse, who would not be? If you would please to push out the left chest.
Vanessa, what are you... You've got no clothes on.
Oh, hello, Clive, darling. I'm a muse.
Hans, you're naked, too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm at one with my subject becoming.
Extraordinary. Never used to paint in the nude when you were executing that series of abattoirs.
You do sound irritable, darling. What do you want, anyway?
My shirt. Have you seen it? Nearly dinner time, and... What is that he's painting on?
An artist needs a canvas, as champagne needs a glass.
But it's silk.
Yeah, yeah, it's sure. It's a wonderful incandescent quality of the light imparting, yeah?
No.
Oh, Clive, don't be so petty.
Nein, he's a critic. He's to his opinion entitled.
Thus did one such delightful episode succeed the next. The storm clouds of war gathered above, yet amid the gloom, Charlatan blazed like a beacon. Kindled with the tinder of companionship, sparked by the flint of genius on the stone of privation, as I observed to Vita some days later at dinner.
Vita, your maid's departure shows you to be as consummate an artist in the kitchen as in the arboretum. Bravo.
Horrible girl. If she can betray me to go and work in a munitions factory, I'm well rid of her.
Oh, girls of that class ooze meagerness of spirit like... ectoplasm. Mm. Their poverty of circumstance does not, as with us, spur nobility of soul.
Vanessa, indisposed again, Clive.
A headache. Said she wants to lie down.
Ah.
I suggest we read our memoirs to each other.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Yes, yes.
The long night of Prussian Philistinism may be about to...
Fall over Europe? Fall over.
Yes.
The Prussian bayonet may be...
At our throats,
yes.
But...
Precisely. Conservatory,
yes, conservatory.
Might get some peace and quiet for civilised conversation there. And we'll bask in the dying rays of a glorious summer day. Rather profound metaphor, that. I have to put it in my pamphlet.
Testing, testing. Economic consequences of the war... Oh, Lytton!
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Hello.
Hello, Johnny. Not disturbing you. I hope you can use the library if we are.
Me? Oh, all right. Maybe Lytton can come and help me work this thing. It's beyond me.
Yes, go on, Lytton.
Oh, no need. It's the work of an instant. There.
A writer, Virginia, but I am not knowing you are a satirist.
Pure owl, man. Switch the thing off.
Dida, Dida, who can Dida making her garden crawl?
Intolerable man!
But a great artist. Let us not forget.
Then what is greatness? In some ways, are not all of us great?
I confess, I advanced this proposition in the manner of a devil's advocate to stimulate conversation. My companions no doubt realized this and responded in a similar spirit of irony, though I cannot say for certain, subsequent debate being abruptly curtailed.
Yes?
Mrs. Sockville-Pest.
Who are you?
Lieutenant Delamore, acting officer in command, 9th Infantry Division.
A lieutenant? Commanding a... What is the world coming to? What do you want?
Well, in a word, ma'am, your house.
Charlatan?
Yes, ma'am. I have a requisition order made out...
Hold on. Lieutenant, what was that name again?
Charlatan, sir.
No, your name. Delamore. Weren't you at King's, went down 1912, gentleman's degree?
Dr. Coins.
So, what have you been up to?
Well, running a gold mine out in southern Rhodesia, sir. My uncle's, actually.
Gold, eh? Few bob in that, I dare say.
You'd be surprised, Dr. Coins. Making a profit from a gold mine is actually harder than you might think.
We live and learn, Delamore. Anyway, water under the bridge now, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. When one's needed, one can't ignore the calls, huh?
No, I never thought you were the sort who could.
Excuse me, what did he say about a requisition order?
We need your house, ma'am, as a barracks.
Monstrous! Not even an officer's mess! Hobnailed boots everywhere, trampling over my hillocks, going into the caves of Hades, I shouldn't wonder.
Rita, and leave this to me. De la Mort, an extra pip wouldn't go amiss, I imagine. Promotion?
I shall serve my country to the utmost of my ability, regardless of such recognition as may come my
way. Yes, yes, that's the stuff to tell the recruitment board. Look, let's have a chat in the library. There's a first edition of The Wealth of Nations.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Adam Smith. A book. Not to worry. There's some decent 10-year-old Lafroig, too.
Oh, that's very civil of you, sir. Good grief, Dr. Coins. What's that?
It's a long story.
As good intentions and happy consequences seldom coincide, rational people have long argued that the true evidence of the former is, indeed, the latter. Puritanical cries of sophistry notwithstanding, in closing this chapter, I note only that our circle were rational people par excellence.
My love is like a red, red rose that's newly bloomed in June.
Oh, shut up! Oh, Clive, how could you? Any of you betray him?
We tried to save him, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, we did. Think of poor Hans in that internment camp.
Never mind. It'll all be over by Christmas, they say.
1918 at the latest.
Hypocrites! International brotherhood, beauty, truth and goodness.
Vanessa, you're being quite unreasonable. I barred that army officer's way.
Until he said excuse me.
And that phonograph recording did look suspicious, all those coded messages.
Oh, I don't remember Hans saying any of those things.
Oh, you weren't with him all the time, darling, surely. Not that I'd mind. We're sophisticated people.
I'm going to bed!
Poor girl. She must learn that mawkishness is the enemy of true art.
A few more days wandering about my landscapes should refresh her soul. I have no objection. At least I've been spared platoons of infantrymen everywhere.
Afterwards, I'll take her on holiday. Just the two of us. She'll like that. Once the cheque arrives.
Cheque? In the Reddies, eh? What's this?
I put a painting up for sale. That's quite ironic. Hans painted it here, of Vanessa.
You found some materials, then?
Yes. Old shirt of mine. All in the cause of art. A very fine picture in the circumstances. Regarding which, Sotheby's are hinting at some notoriety value.
Mm. I know. Let's have a soiree and play charades.
Oh, yes.
Dedications. Of the many talented and illustrious people who have assisted in this creation, I am especially indebted to Mr. Toby Longworth for his penetrating interpretation of the role of myself, Lytton Strychnine, Miss Sally Grace for her unrivaled portrayal of Mrs. Virginia Woolf, Mr. Nicholas Hardy, who sensitively adumbrated Johnny Maynard Coins, Mr. Matthew Bell for special insights into the character of Clive Pill, Miss Sarah Parkinson, indefatigable in the part of Mrs. Vanessa Pill, Miss Joanna Brooks, whose depiction of Mrs. Vita Sockville Pest was simply magnificent, Mr. Jonathan Arris, without whom the part of Hans Schwarzmeister would not have been played, and Mr. Christopher Emmett, who unselfishly acted as mouthpiece for those untalented but sadly necessary characters, the scout, the operator, the postman, the butler, the newsboy, the gallery factotum, and Lieutenant Delamore. I must also thank Mr. Ivan Shakespeare for his services as amanuensis. Finally, my undying gratitude goes to Miss Elizabeth Anstey, without whose production skills the foregoing would simply not have been possible.